First, I just want to ask a little bit about the therapeutic medicines bill and how come we allow direct-to-consumer advertising in New Zealand, whereas most other countries in the world have it banned?
Therapeutic products bill, it's still being put together, so I don't expect to introduce that to Parliament till towards the end of this year. But right now, we have a regime largely under the Medicines Act that deals with this. I know this is a bit of a fraught issue. One of the policy considerations is whether we change the current policy that we have on direct-to-consumer advertising of pharmaceuticals. The advice I've had is that there are competing views from the research about whether or not direct-to-consumer advertising has a negative effect, you know, causes people to seek prescriptions that they don't otherwise need, or puts undue pressure on prescribers like doctors and what have you. The advice I've had is that it's inconclusive. One of the things is that direct-to-consumer advertising does is at least raises awareness of therapies or treatments that are available and allows, at the very least, people to have a conversation with a doctor or a pharmacist. I think the other thing is that if we were to change that, you know, one of the hurdles we have to deal with in legislation now is the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act. One of the rights there is the right to receive information. It's part of the freedom of speech thing. It would be difficult to justify curtailing advertising of pharmaceuticals on the basis that, according to the research so far, it is at least inconclusive as to whether or not it is causing harm.
Let's say there is a motion and that government decides maybe a ban is the right move. What could be an alternative for the public health side, making sure that people are more at least switched on and aware of how they can get help?
There's always public education campaigns about particular conditions. And we do that at the moment anyway. We're doing it with flu, you know, the flu campaign. We do it with, you know, when we have spikes in things like rheumatic fever. We do public marketing campaigns to draw attention to that issue and to suggest that people get medical advice if they have the symptoms. That's as far as we typically go with public messaging. I guess with pharmaceuticals and the pharmaceutical companies, they want people to know about their product, and presumably they want members of the public to raise it with their medical professionals if they're seeking medical advice on a particular condition. What has the greatest or the most positive effect? It's really hard to say. I think the most important thing is that, you know, we do maintain public information campaigns about medical conditions for which therapeutic responses are available and where to go to get good medical advice about that.
One of the major risks behind pharmaceutical advertisements is it seems like from a commercial point of view, it's just get the product out there, but like there's not a lot around like the side effect. That's a lot of what gets concealed in these ads. Let's say an outright ban isn't considered. How can that be ratified to make sure that all the information is out there to make sure that customers can make an informed decision?
I think that's because, like any therapeutic treatment, medicines, both prescribed and non-prescribed, are going to affect people in different ways. And that's why even if you're getting over-the-counter products or you're getting prescription products, is whether you're a doctor or your pharmacist, you get advice on side effects and get the best advice on, you know, whether the product is still appropriate for you. So you'd expect that to be part of good medical advice from a person who might be prescribing you a pharmaceutical.
Historically, in the past, Labour has backed a quote-unquote ban. Like in 2006, Dr. Annette King even said that like she supported it, but there wasn't much support in Parliament. Do you think with the conversations that have happened in the last few years, with this being like the fifth look at it in the past 20 years, do you think you would expect to see a difference?
I can tell you that I've had advice so far that is pretty inconclusive about whether there should be a change or not. The Therapeutic Products Bill is going to be a pretty big bill when it comes to the House. It's pretty comprehensive. So look, whether or not we change the current policy setting on direct-to-consumer advertising, I can't tell you at the moment because Cabinet hasn't given sign-off on the final look of the bill. But I guess I'm just being very clear that the advice so far is that the evidence and the research is inconclusive about whether direct-to-consumer advertising of pharmaceuticals has a negative effect or not. And that would be a factor that obviously Cabinet takes into account when it comes to the final sign-off on the bill before it's introduced into Parliament.
You've mentioned quite a bit in the interview that the Therapeutic Products Bill will be introduced by the end of the year. Do you expect to see it to be a major election issue?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, we've got a range of regulations at the moment for medicines and other therapeutic products. I think probably one of the more controversial aspects of the Therapeutic Products Bill could be the fact that it's also going to encompass natural health products. So products that are made of natural ingredients, but for which therapeutic claims are made. And I know that's been a somewhat fraught issue for the industry that produces natural health products. So they're not using chemicals and synthetics. They're just using available products. But that will be part of it. So we'll see what happens there. But I wouldn't expect an area like this to necessarily create a significant election issue. But I guess you never know, and let's see what happens when the bill's introduced.